Back to My Garden, episode 77.
Welcome to Back to My Garden. Discover your passion for gardening. Here's Dave Ledoux.
Are you concerned about toxic chemicals, GMOs, and frankenfood? Don't panic. Grow organic. Discover my new resource for organic gardening. Go to www.backtomygarden.com/myorganic. Do you love homegrown tomatoes? Free report reveals the 5 dirt cheap tools I use to grow 22 types of heirloom tomatoes, including my secret soil booster. Download your copy for free today at www.backtomygarden.com/freereport. Oh, hi, it's Dave. Just a personal note on this podcast. I want to apologize to you, the listener, and to my guest, Karen. We had a real technical audio difficulty in recording this. Skype was against us that day. But out of every adversity comes opportunity, and I found a great new audio engineer from Europe to help me on the production, so it's only going to get better and better. The content is great. Karen did an awesome job. But I want you to know that it is full of static and some difficulty, but we did our best on it. So enjoy it, and you'll see the next episode returns to our normal quality. Thanks. Enjoy the episode. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world when you listen to this. I'm Dave Ledoux, and welcome to another episode of Back to My Garden. And today, folks, we're going into unfamiliar territory for me. We have an awesome guest. Karen Kemp Dockstetter is the sales and marketing manager at Weeks Roses. She's a mom, a sister, an animal lover, an Eastern Shore native, and a lover of roses and all things green. Weeks is one of the largest rose growers in North America, making the world a more beautiful place for more than 77 years. Karen is going to help me overcome my fear of roses today, and she's got a ton to share with us, a lot of great information. From San Joaquin Valley in California, I want to welcome Karen to the show. Hi, Karen.
Well, hi. How are you doing today?
I'm excited that you're here. It's going to be a great episode.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
I gave you a little brief introduction, Karen, and I want to get to know you better, and I know our listeners want to hear your stories as well. Can you take a minute or two and just share with us a little bit about your background and how did you get into gardening?
Well, I was kind of born into gardening, or really production, horticultural farming, because I've set on generations from the fruit and berry industry. And with that, roses go hand in hand because they are related to the apple tree, which if you look at what an apple looks like and then you look at a rose hip, you can immediately see how the two are related. So we grew lots of roses. I think my first idea that I knew I wanted to be something I had to do with the horticulture was when I was in the first grade, and we used to have to sell seeds. Seed packets is a fundraiser for first graders. And, you know, who can turn down a child trying to peddle seeds in springtime? And I wouldn't sell them. I would con my grandmother into buying them all, and I would build coal frames, and I would grow her seedlings for her. So that's how I got my start in it. It's been great fun ever since.
Fantastic. Now, for those of you driving in your cars, sit back and relax. Keep both hands on the wheel. Karen and I are going to talk about gardening here for the next half hour. I'm going to take all the notes for you drivers and walkers and people jogging. I'll have all the links up, all the resources that Karen shares up at Back to My Garden. Make sure you follow Karen on Twitter at Karen Kemp. That's K-A-R-E-N. K-E-M-P, the number 51, so Karen Kemp 51. And check out Weeks Roses at www.weeksroses.com. Talk about a company that's doing things right. Where do we start, Karen? I know you've had one of the worst droughts in history. I know you've had just got hit with one of the craziest storms in history. I know, where do you want to start? Do you want to talk about what kind of a season you had?
I tell you what, we'll start with how the roses fared through one of the worst droughts in recorded history. Here at Weeks Roses, we grow over a little over 3 million roses. That's about 1,400 acres. And this drought, which The San Joaquin Valley has just suffered under the past, I would say, 9 to 12 months. It took a lot of fruit trees. It was lots of water. Water, the first time you put it in the ground or the first time you put it in your patio. And then, you know, it's tough. It can take a little bit of dry weather. It may not look so great sometimes, but as soon as you put water back on it, it's amazing how they'll come back, you know, even in a drought situation. I'm very optimistic about roses and all the new hybridization that's going on.
Maybe we can transition to that conversation. I've always been intimidated by rosarians. I have that picture of the classic demure lady in a big floppy hat. And it's something I'm just not familiar with. Can you talk about, to the beginners out there, where's a good place to start if you're going to get into roses?
Well, actually, a couple good places. First of all, the internet is wonderful. I mean, you can find out lots of information on the internet. And then the very people that you're intimidated, that you find intimidating, the rosarians, a lot of them love to gather and talk about roses in their yard, their exhibition roses, which are quite a different matter than the roses that you may have as a hedgerow or your climber. And any organizations, even online, the garden chat rooms, there's a wealth of information out there. Catalogs. Anytime you can get mail order catalogs that have roses in them, or if you're fortunate enough to get a wholesale catalog, and of course, your independent garden centers or places that carry roses that have a person behind the counter that knows a little something about what they sell. You'll find word of mouth is probably your best resource.
I always like to prepare for my guests, so I wanted to do a little research on growing roses. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to give a shout out and a thank you to a lady named Deborah Prinsing. She has a website called slowflowers.com. Uh-huh. And I learned so much about just how big the rose growing industry is. I had no idea. You grow 3 million roses a year.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about, because the trends, what's hot today may not be hot tomorrow. And I know roses are coming in and out of fashion, right?
Yes, that's interesting because we have to kind of look at where the market leads us. But because when you're working with a rose today, it won't hit the market maybe for 3 to 8 years. Okay, depending on where it is in its hybridization and its propagation schedule. There has been a big push in landscape roses over the past, I'd say 10 years, 10 to 15 years. And these landscape shrub roses are lovely. And a lot of the hybridizers have brought roses into the same collections in garden centers and mass merchants as the woody ornamental. You're getting roses now that, you know, make hedgerows. And they're tough. A lot of them are low maintenance, require little to no spray, and function very well. They're not like your great-grandmother's or your grandmother's roses that were the fashionable hybrid teas that might have needed a little bit more care in terms of spraying or attention given to pruning, you know, just to maintain. So the hybridization is what they're selecting for. It's not just color and fragrance anymore, but disease resistance and lush, dark foliage.
I wanted to ask you about the top end, the rare ones, the exotic ones. What are some of the more expensive and ultra-premium roses that Weeks serves the market with?
Well, we have every year, everybody has new introductions like every year. And our premium roses are usually found in the first 2 or 3 years as we roll out our program. For 2015, we have the beginning of the Downton Abbey Garden Series. And we're opening that up with Anna's Promise for 2015. And it is a gorgeous rose, which actually has, we've been keeping it for a special occasion. So it was 9 years before we introduced it. And it's a bipolar. It is golden tan with pink blush and a reverse. It's what we call it's a very rounded and bushy, with a very light fragrance. And it is just, the petals look like they're red and gold. That copper gives it like a gold glow. It's beautiful. That's a premium rose. And it's, we have Boris Bay, which is a gold rose, yellow gold, and Neil Diamond. And Neil Diamond is a beautiful, huge, bright red and white hybrid tea that just positively takes your eye in the garden. So those are what we would call some of our premium varieties. Now, as far as landscaping goes, we have a rose pull. And Take It Easy is part of our Easy to Love series that is known for roses that grow well in a landscape and don't need as, they've been for disease resistance and black spot and for downy mildew, some of the other things that can be a pest to any plant that you have out in the, you know, out in your garden. And Take It Easy is a hedge rose, a rose that looks great as a single rose bush, or if you wanted to do a foundation planting around your house, it would look very nice, you know, as a foundation plant or as a hedge. So those would be the premium plants for 2015, or a few of them.
Would the Neil Diamond rose be something I could grow up here? I'm in zone 5B.
Yes. Now, when you grow in zone 5B and even 4, the best thing you can do is if you purchase a bare root rose or a rose that's planted in your garden center container, bury the bud union if it's a bud rose. And Neil Diamond will be more than likely budded because that's how we released it. That means grafted. It's grafted with a single bud. You bury the graft union and you mulch it well. And that will get that rose through the winter, or at least it should.
I suppose I could always bring them indoors like so many. I have a fig tree. It's become a roommate because I'm in that climate where it's just a little too hard in the winter on certain plants.
Well, yeah, and you are also in the wind belt. Although it's supposed to be a nice wind belt, you do get some city wind out there.
You're right. We get a lot of wind off of Lake Erie, and it's definitely hard on some of the tomatoes in the spring, and different things suffer a little bit in that wind.
Well, and wind is one thing that plants have the most trouble in dealing with because it's desiccation at a time of year when they can't bring water into their leaves, into their structure, so they can function and transpire. So winter kill, the best way to prevent that, well, number one was roses. When it comes time for them to go into winter, they need to go into the winter well, you know, they should have been fed well up until about August. So they've put away enough starch. And then you prune that rose back to about 8 inches from the ground. And if you want to, you can bury it. Take mulch and just bury it right over the top. It should look like a mound of brown out there. And that should help that plant come through the winter.
Well, you've said it 3 times. I finally clued in. It sounds like it's really important to feed the soil when you're growing roses.
They are heavy feeders. The more you feed them, the happier they are.
Talk a little bit about the starch component. Is that how they absorb it into the leaves and into the buds?
Yeah, the starch component is in photosynthesis. That's what the plant manufactures for it to live. If the starch is what keeps the plant going. And that gives it caliper, which is the diameter or the fatness of the cane. A well-pruned plant that is fed well through the growing season should make it through the winter just fine. And it's really neat to watch them because they start out one size in the spring. And by the time you come around to October, you should actually see those canes getting really fat, just like a tree would, or like any other woody ornament. And that's them, that's their starts, that's them growing.
My friend Annie Haven has a Mupu tea company there in California, and I know her Mupu tea is used by a lot of top rose breeders.
Yes, Annie's one of my contacts and good friends, and I send her roses every year and tell her to, you know, tell me how that tea is looking on those roses, Annie. And it is a very good product.
You've had a very difficult year for the weather with the drought. Did you have any pleasant surprises where, in terms of the roses, did anything kind of fall out of favor? Did anything surprise you that became very popular?
Not so much in terms of a special variety or anything. I will say, Take It Easy out in the field next to other shrub roses outshone every other rose that we use in the landscape feature. It's a fragrant, double red pink blooming machine. And we did not, I mean, this was a tough year for anything to even want to bloom. And it did. The other thing that I did not realize, roses were as drought tolerant as they were. We were on restriction out here. I live on the ranch, and I of course have my own rose beds going. And I just said, "Well, guys, you're on your own," you know. And I had watered them deeply, and they went for 3 and 4 weeks without water. And they're living. They don't look too badly. And I've got three roses. I'm looking at right now. I've got tree roses out here that have gone dormant, but they're very healthy. They made it through. We had like 10 to 15 days, you know, in triple digits here. 111 degrees.
You're so busy with week's roses, and you're so busy looking after everybody else's gardens. Did you get a chance to garden much yourself this season?
I didn't garden as much as I would have liked to, and a lot of it was mostly because of the drought. And any gardening I did was preservation of what I had, which I think a lot of gardeners do. The only thing I added was for drought testing, a bunch of new hibiscus that are, a lot of them are unnamed, that will be coming out on the market that we are experimenting with here. And of course, the new rose series. Everything that we put in, I put in a prison hedge right next to the rose hedge. Everything appears to be very drought tolerant. So I was very impressed.
Karen, we have a lot of beginners with patio gardens. Can you recommend a good gardening book for someone who wanted to learn about getting started with roses?
Oh, there's so many of them out there. I want to say that the best thing to, depends on what they, where they want to go with rose gardening, because there are some really neat coffee table books. But I want to say, I thought there was a book someone was recommending for sale. It was like a rose gardening compendium, but it's like rose gardening for dummies. And I don't think I'm leading you astray on that. But personally, I use a variety of references. And I get a lot of my information off the internet.
Let me transition into that. Is, you know, everybody who's listening should go to weeksroses.com and check it out, share it on social media. What are some of your favorite websites for resources for gardeners?
Well, as far as resources for gardeners, I go to the people who grow them, and also to the personal hybridizer. If a hybridizer has a website, I'll research that hybridizer. Now, Christian Bedard, our hybridizer, is incorporated into our website. All of this information is there. Star Roses and Plants has a great website too. Those are the two big ones. Edmunds Roses. That's EDMUNDS, I believe is how you spell that name. Gardens Alive and Brex. Gardens Alive has a lot of good gardening expertise there and a multitude of pointers. It is a mail order source too of very unusual plants as well as roses. That's a big one. And that's out your way. They're located out in Ohio and Indiana. I think who else has a really good website? Paul Zimmerman. I don't know if he's ever been on your show before, but what a fantastic resource. And he has some of the best shooting videos, especially for climbers, that I have seen. He's a good resource.
Awesome. I'll have all those links up on the blog, folks, at Back to My Garden. Karen, you're an awesome guest. You're a wealth of knowledge. Can you share a couple of common mistakes that beginners make when they're getting in love with roses for the first time?
What I hear are our biggest complaints and frustrations, to put it that way. First of all, the color of the rose. Some colors of roses appear one way in the catalog. And when you get them in your yard or at home, it's not the color. Now, I'm not talking about a mistake where the red rose you purchased is blooming pink or white. I'm talking about purple. I'm going to go with purple because purple is the most confusing color for a rose. Roses like Out of the Blue, Midnight Blue, Night Owl, Ebb Tide, one of my favorites. They can be different intensities of color at different times of the year. And I have to tell new rose people all the time, be patient. Number one, it can be just getting adjusted to the soil, and the color purple may deepen with the maturity of the rose bush. If that's not the case, it could be a fertility issue where they need a little bit more of just your regular, NPK fertilizer with a few micronutrients. So the intensity. The purple rose in Wasco, California is not the same purple as the one in Portland, Oregon. The one in Oregon will be deeper. Not as much sun, not the intensity of the sun. Also, it's a rainforest-like environment, and it's a completely different color, deepness of the color than it is here in California. And then again, that same rose in Alabama or North Carolina is going to look a little bit different. It all depends on where the picture in the catalog was taken. The other thing is, the most important thing is when you plant a rose, give it plenty of room. Whatever the roots show, if it's bare root or if it's in a pot, you dig that hole about another half again or again in diameter to retain the roots. If you're in the northern climate, if you're above, I would say North Carolina, from North Carolina to a line across the United States, if you're in the mountains, et cetera, bury that bud union. There's plenty that are on route that you don't have to worry about a bud, but most of them will tell you on the tag if it's budded or not. If it's budded, you bury it and you mulch it well. And that way it gives it a little more tolerance against cold weather. Do not be afraid of planting that bush the first year when you cut it back hard. Like I told you before, 6 to 8 inches when you plant it in the ground if it's bare root, and take the mulch and just cover it right in there. And then when the temperature starts to get warm in your area, you rake that mulch away and, you know, keep an eye on to see when it's leafing out. And as soon as it starts to push out those side basal buds, you know, just pull the mulch back around it and let it go on its own. And after that, you only need to fertilize it a couple other times, like every 2 or 3 weeks, just when it's blooming, and let it go. It's always to check if you've got mites or, you know, snails, anything like that, and slugs, you know, munching on them. And then you can go on the internet. There's plenty of natural ways to get rid of those pests. I have a friend of mine that simply washes her roses off with a little bit of soapy water every now and again through the hose, and it seems to control aphids and mites. Other people still use a chemical regimen, especially if they're going to be exhibiting flowers, you know, as the label directions recommend.
Wow. I don't know if you could hear me, folks, in the background. I was scratching, and that's me taking notes. I learned it.
I feel like I'm doing all the talking here. Do you have like a specific question or?
Well, that was beautiful. Like, I am such an absolute rookie when it comes to roses, Karen. And I learned something. So the appearance is going to be dramatically different of the exact same plant based on geography and sunlight and age and soil and nutrition. That is incredible.
Yes, it is. And some people get frustrated because they've got purple roses that look pink. And we just always, if there's ever a problem with the rose, whoever you're going to send the question to, take a picture of it and take a picture of that rose, take a picture back up of the plant so we can see if it's nourished or not. You know, we can tell a lot by the foliage. If we can't tell by the blossom, we can tell by the foliage. And, you don't have to be a detective, but you want to know why that flower blossom isn't what it is. And it can vary. Also, certain pink roses, Lady Elsie May comes to mind. It was an All-American Award winner back in the early 2000s. And it's a coral color until it starts getting cool. And then, like so many other pinks, they'll migrate. The pigment migrates, and it becomes peppermint pink, just a dark pink. It's a very interesting rose. And you'll find a lot of pink roses have this pigment migration that gets deeper the cooler the weather gets. It's very lovely.
You know, listeners, you're so lucky to be listening to an absolute expert with so much experience. Make sure you follow Karen on Twitter at KarenKemp51. Make sure you check out and subscribe to weeksroses.com. Karen, is it okay if the listeners reach out to you on Twitter and maybe share some of their rose photos with you?
Oh, absolutely, because I'm the biggest favoriter and retweeter, because I like to share with everyone, and it'll get picked up by all of our rosarians and all of our newbies all over the world. So yes, share your pictures. We love it.
Now, don't take advantage of Karen. She's not your rose doctor on call 24/7, but if you have a question, I can't think of a better expert to ask than Karen. It really is a huge society, rose lovers, isn't it? They're a very special group of people.
Yes, men and women alike are fantastic rose gardeners and very special people because not only most rosarians party too. I don't know if that's a well-kept secret or not, but they, after they work with these roses, they love to get together and talk about it and party it down too. So if there's a rose chapter in your area, it would be good to join them. Or if not, find out how you can start one.
You know, Karen, we're nearly out of time. You've been a brilliant guest.
You. I've enjoyed talking with you.
Oh, thank you very much. We're going to have you back next year. I want to give you the last word to the listeners. Can you leave us either with a pearl of wisdom or a note of encouragement, especially for the beginners out there?
A pearl of wisdom or a note for the beginners. Never be discouraged because roses are some of the toughest plants that you can imagine. Chances are, if you have planted it well and watered it right the first time, if something happens with that rose, it's probably not your fault. And that's the other thing. No matter what, don't give up on planting roses or enjoying them, because there's a place in your yard for a rose somewhere, and it will bring you miles and miles of joy, especially when you cut them and bring them in the house. And kids love to garden with roses too. So if you have kids or you have, you know, people in your neighborhood that enjoy roses, it's always a conversation piece when they come by your yard.
Outstanding. Karen, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for asking me.